Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You can still claim your free audiobook when you sign up to a free 1 month trial of the Audible service when you go to audible.co.uk/footballramble. You might choose Pete's favourite audiobook, Bright Lights, Big City by Jay McEnany, or you might choose Luke's favourite audiobook, Digital Fortress by Dan Brown, or one of nearly 60,000 titles. Go and claim your free audiobook at audible.co.uk/footballramble now.
.46 is our number, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete.
Hello, Marcus Speller.
Luke.
All right.
How are we, chaps? Everybody up for this?
Yeah, well up for it.
Just had a lovely muffin, thanks.
Good. What was in it? Chockies?
Chockies.
Chockies. Right. Yeah. Who from the world of football would you like to see become president of the United States of America, Jim?
Well, I would go for someone who's got a little bit of political experience.
Yes.
In America, the South America.
Oh,
Romario.
Excellent.
Obvious, yeah.
Strong start.
Better than Romney. Yeah. I'll put that out there.
Romario.
It's a sensible choice. No. Could you imagine the state the world would be in within a week?
It'd be class.
He'd have declared war on Argentina. It'd be incredible.
Yeah, it genuinely would. And you know, he would obviously win by lots of votes.
Of course he would. It's happened before, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you think Romario's a Republican or a Democrat?
I'd go a Republican.
Yeah.
I think he might be as well.
I think
he would talk a Democrats game.
Knee-jerk decisions.
He would talk a Democrats game, but he'd be a Republican.
Yeah. And him and his buddy Babette would be good at kissing the babies, because they could...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They could kind of rotate the baby towards
the third
mouth.
One? Who was the third one?
Who was it?
My head's saying Maradona.
Thiago's dad.
Yes.
What's his name?
What is his name?
Marcelino, not Marcelino.
Mazinho,
that's it. Yeah.
No bonus points
that,
this week.
That boy who Babette and Romario were doing the thing for.
Isn't he a footy player?
I think he plays for a Brazilian team now. I think he's 17.
I love that. Yeah. The circle
of life. We've talked about that before. Yeah.
If we've learnt one thing, it's that time carries on.
But we haven't found out who Pete would choose for American president from the world of football.
Yeah, I was going to go for... I was trying to toss around the words Ronaldinho, because you got bad teeth and the presidentist, but it doesn't really work.
No.
So I've gone for Joey Barton, like a kind of Minister of Arts kind of vibe. He'd get kind of, propelled into the seat through that, basically. Yeah.
It's so, better than Jan Vinegar and Hesselink.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there.
The third one was...
Okay. Well,
Thiago's dad.
Yeah. You're currently second.
Yeah.
Luke.
Bearing in mind, neither of those two are actually eligible for not even being American citizens.
Not the point.
Okay.
It isn't
as
the point,
well known.
You
can be naturalised.
I'm going for Giuseppe Rossi. Because he's from New Jersey. I love the idea of a footballer being from New Jersey.
I thought you were going to go Landy Cakes for a minute.
No, Giuseppe Rossi, because he's so from New Jersey with his accent and stuff. I mean, it's difficult to remember fully because he's been injured for about 14 seasons.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of like him running through on goal and the midfielder not playing the ball through, and he just turns around and goes, "What, you can't play a through ball now? You can't play a fucking through ball? What the fuck is this?
I'm the goddamn president."
And so that's mine.
Okay. It's actually got me thinking of Americans. Bruce Arena. Mm. President Arena. Thank you very much.
That's amazing. Yeah.
President Keller. He's got a ring to it.
Yeah, that's decent.
Casey Keller sounds like a American president.
Yeah.
And for the period between them actually getting it, so in November through to, I think it's January or February, when they actually become the president, they're president-elect, aren't they? Mm. President-elect Arena.
Yeah.
Come on.
That actually wasn't my answer. I just thought of that there. Big Sam. Mm.
Really?
Oh, he's a big boy, isn't he? He's a big country man.
Well, because he's fat, he could be president of America.
No, it works for me.
No, but he thinks he should be at a club like Real Madrid. So if he was into politics, he would be running a country like America.
Yeah,
Is there a football called Chad? Chad?
Uncle Sam. I mean, Big Sam.
Yeah. That works.
True. True.
Yeah. Chad.
Anyone? Yeah, Chad.
You're just saying American
That's another
names.
Country.
Yeah. No, is there a football called Chad?
I don't know.
Can we talk about this later?
I thought this is what we were here for.
Pete Donaldson hasn't won the points, ladies and gentlemen.
I won him last week and see how I'm following it up with a win. Magic.
He's got the point. I will give it to Jim.
Yeah.
Give it to Jim.
I endorse really Romario. This.
Romario, indeed. Right then. Enough of that nonsense. Let's go to the Premier League where Manchester United beat Arsenal 2-1. Robin Van Persie. It was inevitable, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it really, really was. To the point it was almost nice to have it over with. Right, when he scored. Yeah. Yeah. Cheers, yeah. Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, dear. It was an awful start. Rooney then missed a penalty. Terrible penalty. Ever scored.
Well, terrible. He screwed it, but you can see what he's trying to do.
If the goalkeeper wasn't there, it wouldn't have been a goal.
Yeah, he's got me now, hasn't he? Yeah. That is true.
Chad.
Just Thiago's dad.
Indeed. Wilshere was sent off. Cazorla scored.
What happened?
Yeah, indeed. And I've just gone through it all.
bit of nonsense at half time with Andre Santos and Van Persie.
There was. Did that annoy you?
I didn't actually notice it at the time, weirdly. But it's all down to a difference in culture, isn't it? Apparently, that's quite normal in Brazil that players who are friends will swap shirts out at half time and they'll do it on the pitch, and that's normal. It is a bit annoying, but. You can't really blame him for not knowing that, you know, because he's from a different culture where they don't do that, and he didn't know it.
He doesn't seem to be able to get his head around much stuff.
No. What's really sad about this is that, you know, he's a really sort of fun character because he has his own, very much has his own interpretation of what the sport is. Which is entertaining to watch, but he's played really badly, and this hasn't helped lately. I think he'll probably be gone before.
You're more of a wing back, aren't you, Andrew? No, I'm a wing up.
Yeah. Wing up.
Bang.
The talk in the papers today was that he's apologised personally to Wenger, and like the news story I read, it didn't make it abundantly clear, but it sort of implied that he'd volunteered to be dropped for the Schalke game.
Yeah. Well,
which is just really depressing when you think about it.
On form though, I mean, he should be dropped anyway. The talk for Marlon will start against Schalke tonight, and that's not ideal, is it? And Vermaelen's been awful as well. He's made a lot of mistakes this season that have directly
Schalke
led to goals.
Schalke, good team going forward.
Yeah, I'm fearful of,
well, as we saw
much.
Already.
Yeah.
But it's like what I do at like half time on Sunday League. I'll sort of take my shirt, I'll untuck my shirt, unfurl the arms in it, and maybe undo my shoelaces as well, just to give the sort of sense that if I do get subbed at half time, I don't look bothered. I'm expecting it, basically. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, I knew you were going to do that anyway, so yeah, hope you're
all. I mean, you're a real alpha male, aren't you, Pete?
It's a little insight to the mind of a winner.
Yeah,
it really is.
He backs himself, Donaldson.
Yeah. What about Jack Wilshere? Was it good to see him back? He was back the other week, of course, but lively.
Obviously, when any player's been out for such a long time, there's a worry they're going to sort of take it easy when going into challenges.
Yep. Not with Jack!
You don't know Jack, literally.
He's got tree trunks for legs now. He's obviously spent a lot of time in the gym during his rehabilitation. He looks absolutely massive. But yeah, I mean, Arsenal were just poor, really.
That was three yellows for Jack Wilshere, really. He got let off on the booking.
He did. Yeah.
And then he went through him again, and that was that.
I mean, last season, obviously the same fixture was 8-2, and Arsenal were taken apart. But, you know, there were circumstances around that where, you know, they didn't have many fit players, a lot of injuries, players hadn't been signed in time and whatnot. This time, you know, they're pretty much, you know, a much more deep squad available, which didn't compete. You know, obviously it's nowhere near the same scale, but the bottom line is they didn't compete, never looked like winning the game. Cthulhu's shot was the only shot we had on target during the whole game. That was injury time when the game's already over and we're down to 10. So yeah, it's just poor. Arsenal in a bit of a slump.
It's
at the moment.
Positive,
really, really are.
It's like positive as Manone. I thought he played quite well.
Well, he did, yeah, but you know, that's you know, it's a silver
but
lining.
Watching them at 1-0, at 1-0, it looked like Arsenal just looked like they were like 3-0 down. They didn't look like they were ever going to get back into
the
game.
The
creative spark has gone out of them. It seems to be there for the start of the season, but Wenger's got some real work to do. Because, I mean, I think there's a danger with Arsenal, because for so many seasons they've looked like they wouldn't finish in the top four, and then they've done it, either sort of, you know, powered through to sort of comfortably finished there or scraped it. There's almost a new danger of complacency that will happen. You know, they got into this situation by being complacent anyway.
I sort of agree with what Pete said, and I'd like to extend that narrative around the game itself, because beforehand Ferguson's comments in the pre-match were really interesting. He said something like, I forget what exactly he said, but it was something along the lines of, oh yeah, this game could be sort of tricky for us. And so, you would never imagine saying that about Arsenal in years gone by. Then the footage in the tunnel. Now, I'm not suggesting the cliched idea that you have to be pumped and really focused and you know, cage tigers in the tunnel before a game. But sometimes, if you think back over the years, some of those United Arsenal games, you could cut the tension with a fucking cricket stump. And they were laughing and joking. United were laughing and joking to me, it looked like. And maybe I'm painting it on them because of the result. But they knew they were going to win. And Arsenal just didn't look bothered. Then after after the game, Ferguson seemed almost quite surprised that it had been so easy for them. One thing I would say is that Cleverley should have gone as well.
Yeah.
He should have been sent off. He was given the benefit of the doubt. On a booking, he probably should have been sent off as well. But I don't know if that would have made too much difference, to be honest.
Well, Manchester United have gone top of the league, and Arsenal down in seventh and 9 points behind them. I mean, after 10 games, is Arsenal's title challenge over?
4 wins in 10 games suggests so. But I think that, you know, title challenge, as we've been saying for so long, it's only ever something that's maybe a sort of wide-eyed, optimistic ideal at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And then this sort of form comes, and it all becomes clear. Now, traditionally, in recent seasons, Arsenal have had a very, very rough November, and it's begun in the same way. They need to arrest the slump now, get out of it if they want to sort of get into that top four, because it's...
I felt a bit sorry for Andre Santos just as well, because he didn't seem to get an awful lot of support. Was it Podolski playing in front of him?
Yeah, Podolski didn't help.
No, it was almost like he was doing an Arshavin impression. Mm.
But I mean, the forward line for Arsenal were just barely involved, because they just, you know, they were just shackled completely. Mm. United didn't seem to break into sweat, really. Mm. It wasn't a great game, was it?
No. But United did go top, 1 point above Chelsea, who drew away to Swansea. Mm. Victor Moses scored a nice one. I liked it because it was two headers. It was a set up from Cahill. Yeah. No, didn't mean to set him up, of course. Nice to see the ball bounce off two heads and in.
I said before the game, actually, on Twitter, that it was a chance for Moses to make an impression, because he's not played as much as he would have liked to. Mm. And he did, and yeah, fair play to him. I thought Hernandez was excellent for Swansea.
He was superb, wasn't he? It was a great goal.
5.5 million. He's a Spanish international. Yeah. You know, he's played a few times for Spain. Great winger. Yeah, I think that was a great sign of him.
Yeah, we'd hit a bit of a slump, hadn't he, at Valencia?
Of course.
So, you know, it's a great bit of business. Almost Allardyce-esque from back in his Bolton days. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it was a good point for Swansea, because they've had a slightly indifferent start to the season. But a point against the team who were top champions of Europe, as they like to remind everybody, is quite a bit better from Laudrup's men.
Quite ambivalent about Swansea, because on one hand, I sort of think they might struggle in the second season in the Premier League. And then you can point to things that has happened to them where it looks like they may be doing that. But at the same time, we lost their manager. Lost a decent part of their team.
That's right.
And so they're actually doing okay.
That's an incredible result.
That's great.
Brilliant result for them.
And to fight back as well from, as I say, the side who have won seven of the first 10 games.
The form team of the Premier League, Chelsea, there's no doubt about that.
And so it's one of those ones where I think that once Laudrup's got, I don't know, maybe 20 games under his belt, I think the crowd will start to feel a little less uneasy about him being in the fall, because he is one of those people that people think that he's going to leave if they have 5 results in a row that it, you know, doesn't go their way.
And he only loves things to an extent where he loves them just slightly less than he loves himself. So he's never going to fall in love with anyone apart from himself.
Well, what about former Swansea man Martinez, now at Wigan, of course? His men had a brilliant win at Spurs.
Yeah.
And deserved.
They did. They played really well, too. I mean, they looked like the Wigan of late on in the season.
That's right.
I didn't see that game, but I mean, given that in the years gone past, Spurs' results against lower league relegation threatened teams has really let them down.
I think that's the trouble for Spurs, isn't it? That Wigan winning their 1-0, it doesn't massively surprise you.
No,
they will
get into really good form and then lose a stupid game.
Yeah.
Like they did against Norwich at home last season. It's exactly the same sort of thing. But, you know, credit to Wigan as well.
Oh,
because
massively,
they've found their form again. I mean, losing a player like Victor Moses, you know, it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, Roddy Yeager's gone as well. Like, so it's quite a different team. So maybe it's just taking them a little while to kind of find their feet again, and for the system them to sort of be kind of clicked back into gear with the new players. But they were really, really
They're
good.
Knocking it around very nicely.
Yeah. And,
well, they always do, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, Watson scored the goal. What was this start match of the day? Is he the first Englishman to score in 2012 for them?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Bloody hell, that's good.
Really?
Good fact.
Nice little factoid there. Elsewhere in London, Fulham drew 2-2 with Everton.
Good game.
A good game. Everton, they should have won. Mm. I mean, if you look at Everton, they're fourth in the league. They're on 17 points to 7 behind Manchester United. I mean, Moyes, you know, he was sick to the back teeth of that. That should have been 3 points there. And he said recently that he feels this is his best Everton side. They've drawn their last 4, I think. Okay, fair enough. There was the Merseyside derby, but draw away to QPR that game there. They should have 4 more points, really. I mean, they should be on 21, just 3 behind Manchester United, I would have thought.
I think Everton did play well, but I also think, especially this season, you go to Fulham, you've got to be on your game. You've got to be defensively very solid, because they score goals all over the place. They've scored 21 goals already this season.
Mm.
You know, so you're always going to concede by the look of it when you go to Fulham. And they went a goal down, didn't they? Even though they were battering them.
That's right, yeah.
And obviously they couldn't see it out. But you know, I think Fulham, Everton, and
Fellaini looked imperious.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's been unplayable this season. It's so nice to sort of see a player kind of not have the greatest like season last season and just really come into it and just completely.
You mentioned the QPR game. We didn't have Fellaini in that game, and that's probably why.
So, I mean, he's so hard to play against.
He's so big. He's so skillful. He's so sort of just. Like, get the F off me, sort of thing.
Do you remind you of anyone?
The hair's there, pretty much.
Yeah, it's me.
Morales. Yeah, well, that does describe you imperious, would not be the word.
Morales, as well, has continued his good.
Yeah.
Good player.
Yeah, it just looked dangerous. It's ridiculous that Everton didn't win that game. They really, really should. Fellaini had another good chance, and the goalkeeper saved very well. But yeah, they just got stung, didn't they?
I don't wish to patronise or anything, but it's just nice for Moyes because he's a stinking few years.
Really,
he's
got
nothing to play with.
But that's why it's such a shame for them that they drop points there and have done, because they you know, they're fourth. They're on 17 points, five off Manchester City in third.
Fulham, Everton and West Brom are really shaking it up. It's great to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
West Brom are excellent again.
It's great for Steve Clarke as well. You know,
God, they were so, I mean, I know Southampton are utter shit. Yeah. But
they dominated them though, didn't they? It was
really
proper stop hitting yourself stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Southampton have conceded 28 goals already this
season. But Arden Wing is a very good player, isn't he?
Great player.
And they are exploiting his talents very well up there. But what about Liverpool 1 Newcastle 1? Two great goals. Kabaye got us underway there, Pete. You enjoy that one?
Yeah, very good. Kind of driven volley, very nice. But the second's got to be the
Suarez
goal of the season.
It's one of the best first touch I've ever seen.
Yeah. Right.
I think Krull goes down very quickly. I think
Suarez gives him the eyes and swerves him down. Yeah. That's the thing.
And Colaccini's always going to get beaten for pace, whatever happens.
Lovely ball from Enrique as well.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was just all round a lovely bit of play. And Suarez was just absolutely ridiculously good that day. We were talking about Juan Mata the other week having one of the standout performances of the season so far. I think Suarez probably topped it. How involved he was. He always is. That's how he plays. But he just looks so dangerous. And I think he was denied a legitimate penalty as well. I think Colaccini took him down and before he got sent off later on.
Colaccini red was a nailed on one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Somebody made a really good point. A girl on Twitter, I can't remember blaming him now, but she was I don't know, but she
exactly
said
you don't consider girls to be as equal as boys when it comes to football, so you didn't remember her name.
I beg your pardon.
Ignoring
Peter. He said about Suarez looks like the just looking at his face, Suarez looks like the sort of person who was breastfed until about 10 years old.
Joaquin was breastfed till he was 9, and he's got that kind of look as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Could be something. Something I want to change the subject.
Because you were breastfed until 12.
Because I've just been breastfed.
I'm at Luke's teat at the moment.
Yeah. It's enough for everyone.
Liverpool need a better set. Second choice keeper, do they not?
I don't think Rainer's been that good.
No, Brad Jones.
I think he's okay, isn't he?
They need a better groundsman. Look at that sprinkler.
I live with the Middlesbrough fan.
That sprinkler.
Brad Jones
brilliant.
Doesn't get a good right up at home.
That sprinkler was a good one.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
There's a man just in the crowd going, why me? Why me?
Yeah. Move, mate. Just move.
Just fucking move.
Well, they were trying to move. If anyone did miss this, some sort of sprinkler cock up at Anfield meant that the sprinkler just shot its way into the crowd.
But the guy stood
it's part of a wider conspiracy. It goes right to the top.
Like a water canter now.
He was stood there like, I'm a season ticket holder. I don't expect this.
Yeah, he did.
This is my.
I don't know why he'd have a slight Cockney accent.
Yeah.
Well, he might.
Well, yeah, it's true. Stuck in the 80s.
Certainly all the ones in the pub that I was watching the Newcastle match certainly had Cockney accents. Jesus.
Let's zoom off to the Championship, where Doogie Freeman's first game in charge of Bolton ended in a win 2-1 against Cardiff. Great win, actually. Bolton in 17th place with 18 points.
Petrov looked great off the bench. Like,
he did,
really, really good.
He's too good for that level, that's
but
what.
Are we surprised that Friedman went to Bolton?
I think he thought that Bolton had a better chance of effectively a bigger club. I'm wary of saying one club's bigger than another because it's pretty subjective, but I think he thought that Bolton had the potential to do a lot better.
Yeah, I think there's more stability at Bolton.
And also, by the way, Bolton are the most inconsistent team. Their last 10 games have been win, loss, draw, loss, win, draw, loss, win. I need to start putting results together.
Off the top of your head,
it's a shame because Friedman is
got it written down here, Pete, actually.
That's research.
Friedman's a real hero at Palace, though, so it's always a shame to see that.
And they're doing well. Yeah, what, they're third in the table?
They're third 1 point off the top. They beat Blackburn Rovers 2-1. Ian Holloway will take over the helm.
2-0, was it not?
At Palace. 2-0, sorry, yeah.
He called them Barcelona, didn't he?
Ian Holloway.
Yeah, don't say that, Ian.
Yeah, he's clearly mistaken. He'll be disappointed when he turns up, eh? Will Henningberg, though, because he's going to Blackburn Rovers. He said recently, Henningberg said recently that it would be madness to work under Venkies and that no manager with credibility would go there.
He's the only new Championship manager not to win this this week or whatever. They've changed like so many different managers in
I don't think he was in charge for that game though.
Yeah, but he's joined, hasn't he?
Okay, so right.
Those quotes essentially him saying, look, Venkies, I'm available at a reasonable price.
It would appear.
I spoke to Lars Sivertsen, the Norwegian guy, football journalist, and he said about Henningberg, he did a reasonably good job in Norway under difficult circumstances at Lillestrøm and Lynn before that. And he said that it's funny because he thinks that Shebby Singh's hired him because he thinks... Shebby Singh thinks he's this really forward thinking one of these new breed of managers, and apparently he's not like that at all.
4-4-2, lump the ball up. Get it in the mixer.
Because obviously Wolves have got Stolle Solbakken, who is this sort of quite inventive style manager, but he's not like that at all, apparently. Lars said to me he's a tactical pragmatist.
Is that right?
He said, no nonsense, but limited defender, and you get the impression that's the kind of manager he'll also become.
Tactical pygmy.
So, more good news, Blackburn fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And also in the Championship, Middlesbrough had a great win away to Charlton 4-1 there. Joint top with Cardiff. Poor old Charlton down in 21st, 2 points off the relegation zone.
Don't want to be there.
Oh dear.
All to play for. It was FA Cup first round weekend. It was. Always nice to see. Pompey out.
Yeah, well, that's as sure as night follows day. 2008 FA Cup winners. Yeah. Out in the first round, home to Notts County. So.
Hartlepool are out as well, Pete. Yeah. Chesterfield, 6-1. Arsenal still in, Jim.
Where are your team?
They're in the Scottish Cup.
Well, I was about to say, we haven't got to the Cup they're competing for, but first we go to the SPL.
Now, before you go to Scotland, I just wanted to say, I was quite harsh on Barnett last week. I didn't properly realise that Davids has actually turned them around a little bit. They've been on a bit of a run. And they won again in the last league game away at Chesterfield.
Well done.
Davis played a whole game at the age of 49.
Super.
Sorry, Barnett fans.
Yeah.
Both of you got in touch and I feel quite bad.
Our mutual friend Steve Harris is now doing the Barnett television thing.
All right.
There you go. See, he'll be unhappy. Hello, Steve.
SPL time. Dundee United 2, Celtic 2. The Celts were 2-0 up, but two goals in the last few minutes made sure the title race is as hot as it's ever been in Bonnie Scotland.
It's not that hot, is it?
It's warm.
It's like one of those things you put in your pocket and you put it in the microwave and it is a little bit warm.
Well, you say that, Peter, but after Hibs beat St Mirren 2-1, they're on the same points as Celtic.
Where are the Gorgies? They're down in about 8th, aren't they?
Yeah, the second half of the season surge. Something we're all looking forward to. Inverness Cali, Aberdeen and St Johnstone are all 3 points off the top.
If Inverness Cali win the SPL, would that be the greatest thing to ever happen in football?
To ever happen?
Yeah.
It would top Romario winning the presidential election in America at the 9th.
I think both are as likely. We agree on that.
To the Scottish Cup we march, where I'm just a few results that stood out. Ayr 2, Clackenacudden 1, Brechin 2, Bonnie Rig Rose 2.
Come on, eh? Bonnie Rig Rose.
Bonnie Rig Rose. A beacon of football. Yeah. I reckon it.
It sounds like an old folk song about a woman called Rose from Bonnie Rig.
It sounds like something Axl Rose would change his name to.
I think it
lost like my heart to Bonnie Rig.
I think it was like a dance. We're going to do the Bonnie Rig Rose.
Yeah.
Grab yourself three partners. Bucky Thistle 0.
That sounds like a drink.
Turriff United 1. Bucky, the people from Bucky have got an amazing accent. If you ever have the chance, bloody go there. But just for the accent.
What is the accent?
It's kind
of Chinese.
Do you know? There's an element.
I can't do it.
Somebody email in to clarify this, but I can remember it sounding like a mix between all sort of Scottish and Geordie.
Right.
I don't know why.
Carlisle then.
Leave them alone, Peter. Anyway, back to this cup. Inveruri, Locos 3, Arbroath 3. It was a great comeback from the Highland League side. Inveruri, as I'm sure you're all aware. 3 goals down there were. Rangers 7, Alloa 0, and Cowdenbeath 8, Vale of Leithen 1.
I tell you what, I'd love to go to Vale of Leithen.
Yeah.
It sounds like it'd be amazing. If it's not amazing, don't email me and tell me, because I don't want the dream busted.
Yeah. It's bound to be better than Cowdenbeath.
That whole set of results was just like having a hike around the Highlands, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Heather's everywhere. Finished a lovely off. Sunset, mountain ranges in the background.
Yeah.
Reliable dogs hanging out with you being your mate.
Yeah.
It's great to see Cowdenbeath getting 8 goals. The Blue Brazil.
Yeah, they are.
But the big news, of course, in the Scottish Cup is that Hearts have been drawn against Hibs in the fourth round.
Oh,
to repeat of last year's final and then an 1896 final as well.
Yeah. Salmon's going to be happy.
BT. It's not the big news, is it really? Because the big news is Craig Levein's at his chips.
Craig Levein,
the Spanish Archer.
He's been sacked as Scotland manager. Gordon Strachan has been touted as a possible replacement. Now, I went on Twitter this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe?
F off.
Drunk again.
And I asked some of you to suggest who you would like to take over as Scotland manager. A number of people said Souness, Dalgleish, Steve Keane, Sven.
Pretty forward thinking.
Sven is clearly, because this is your Twitter feed.
Craigie Brune.
On the subject of Craig Brown, I was watching BBC News Channel today. And then an interview with Craig Brown about the central tenet of the interview was who he thought would be the next Scotland manager. And I'm not making this up. I'll tell you who he said. This is genuine. This is who he said in answer to the question, who do you think will be the next Scottish manager? He mentioned Gordon Strachan, Billy Davis, Alec McLeish, Walter Smith, Harry Redknapp and Terry Venables.
I'm surprised you didn't chuck in Craig Levein in there.
Could you imagine if Redknapp took the Scotland job? It would be amazing.
And the thing he said something at the end like, he'll definitely come from one of that six. Well, thanks. Yeah, cheers.
Cheers, Craig.
Yeah. Terry Venables. Why Terry Venables? Such a great job with Wembley FC.
But that wasn't all the people that were suggested. Chris Maguire on Twitter said, El Diego, we can offer him the lifestyle he's always lusted after.
Yeah.
A friend of the Ramble, Murray James, said Mitt Romney. Yeah. The target man said John Sitton.
The thing is, though, joking aside, John Sitton is genuinely disturbed.
Is he? Yeah. Okay.
That's drives a cab scene, doesn't
he? He is a crazy follow on Twitter.
He's a cabbie tweeting. What do you expect?
Yeah. But he went off on a massive rant about Ray Lewington the other day. The obviously England coach.
Why?
Yeah, I was back in the day. Ray was rubbish. He was rubbish.
I had a better mark up last week. 50 quid signing charge. Disgusting.
Yeah. We're not done.
No tip.
No.
Grant Wilson said Mel Gibson.
Oh yeah.
Along the same lines. Yeah.
and a chap called Zion just simply said Elton John would be the best though. That was all the tweet said.
The best of a bad bunch then. Yeah.
there you go. That's the Scotland roundup. Marvellous scene.
Should we not talk a bit more about Levein going? How do you feel about that? As somebody who lived in Scotland, because Levein always struck me as like the most dour man. Like he's so aggressive, so like sort of passive aggressive in sort of press conferences and stuff. Like leave those pauses before answering questions and stare at the journalists and stuff. It's just like, can that possibly be a fun man to play for?
No, I don't think so. But actually, what I would say to him is, I don't think he was overtly aggressive enough. I mean, if you look at someone like McLeish or Walter Smith,
Big Walter,
yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, they'd rip your head off if you weren't playing very well. Whereas Levein, I think many might have seen him as a soft touch. Maybe I don't know.
Then you've got the Stephen Fletcher situation.
I'll tell you what you'd like to see in there, Big Archie.
Archie.
Yeah.
And Craigie Brune, Archie and Walter.
Dream team.
Just hang 5 or 6 months. The Liverpool job will be going begging, and that fella, you know.
Do you think?
Hop on.
I don't know. I think Strachan. I can't remember. Mates wanted Souness for some reason because they get the discipline back in the side.
But that's limited, isn't it? That only goes so far, as we've seen with Souness.
Yeah.
Well, he was drafted on that basis at Newcastle. He
didn't, yeah, true. Yeah. I think they could do worse than Strachan.
Yeah.
But it's just all kind of like, you know, yesterday's men, isn't it? It's just very kind of like, oh.
Sure, I mean, I think all the best Scottish managers are in the Premier League. And I mean, Steve Clarke's not going to give up his job.
It's not
David
be a
Moyes.
No. You're absolutely right.
Moyes is not going to give up his job. Alex Ferguson certainly isn't. You know, well, 26 years, we should say, by the way.
Yeah, Guardiola's going.
Going where?
Yeah.
Going mental if he takes that job. Yeah. Hey.
Well, you mentioned Guardiola. That kind of links us into the Liga gym.
Apparently, Guardiola's preferred fitness coach was having a tour of several English training grounds this week.
Is that right? Yeah. But we're gone. We're not in Britain anymore. We're in the Liga now.
Yeah.
So you can forget that.
He's gone as well.
Real Madrid beat Real Zaragoza 4-0. It was Mourinho's 100th win in charge of Real Madrid.
100th?
Yeah.
100th.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Just the one.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Essien and Modric with their first goals for the club.
Oh, Essien looked delighted to score, didn't he?
Yeah.
The bison.
Yeah.
Barcelona beat Celta Vigo 3-1. So, you know, tick those off. Real Madrid 1, Barcelona 1. Atletico Madrid did not.
I think we should genuinely have a rule that if we don't mention Barcelona and Real Madrid, they've won.
Yeah.
Just take it as read.
But I think that was to highlight Atleti's first defeat since April the 11th. Mm.
Soldado actually stamped on Falcao's head, didn't he?
I've never seen
a kind of accidentally. The word stamp is maybe harsh.
Yeah, what a
video
goal
that
to get the game going.
Oh, it's brilliant. It was like Van Basten's goal, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
You know the one.
I know the one.
Falcao should have had about 16 penalties in that game.
Do you know Soldado's actually got like a Scottish grandmother? So
there you
technically,
go. Player manager.
I think he's already played for Spain. Yeah.
And it's not true.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Just thought I'd do a lie.
Atleti,
look out for that in future.
Atleti, they were going for their 14th consecutive win this season in all competitions, but they failed. So a real shame there. The other ones to lose on the continent, the big result was in Serie A, where Juventus lost 3-1 at home to Inter. They've gone 49 league matches unbeaten, so close to that to 50.
Same as Arsenal.
Exactly the same. Mm. Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
I wonder if they had t-shirts made like Arsenal did.
But it was a derby of Italy where it was all stopped. Juve went one up in the first minute, I think, through Vidal. But Diego Milito.
Deadly Diego.
He was on the prowl and got a double with Palacio getting a third late on.
How old is Milito now? He's got to be, what, 33, 34?
He's moving on.
Yeah, he's early 30s.
I'll tell you something. I love that front three of Cassano, Milito and Palacio. That's quality.
It's class.
Three at the back, three up front. Mm. Cheers.
Yeah.
They've really
Stramacchioni.
Yeah.
Well, they've really kicked on, haven't they?
They've won 10 in all their last 10 matches in all competitions.
Stramacchioni's really good value as well. I read a really cool article
with
him in it, and he was asked in a press conference what it was like to walk into the Inter dressing room for the first time at the age of 36 or whatever it was. All he had done is won the next gen series with Inter. And when he went in there, he had to go there with Cambiaso and Zanetti. Zanetti was 3 years older than him. Yeah. Well, obviously still is, because that's how time works. But he was, and he said, what did they say? And Stramacchioni said, they didn't say anything, but their faces said all they needed to say, which was, who the fuck is this guy? Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. On Diego Milito, only Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi have scored more league goals in this calendar year than him. He's got the same amount as Zlatan. So yeah, Milito.
Paul Pogba, who's moved to Juve,
has
been playing extraordinarily well by all accounts, and he was left out of that game. So I don't know how much of that played a part into it. You know, apparently Pogba's been started to be called Paul the Octopus now, because he can play everywhere in midfield.
Is that right? All over the place. Predict the results.
And it's another one that sort of, I mean, well, by all accounts, he said no to Ferguson, didn't he, Pogba? So he didn't want to sign another deal. He wanted to go. And I know PK and Rossi have both left as well. It's a bit of a funny one, because they could really do it.
He's exactly the sort of player they're lacking in there. It's an odd one.
Mm. Maybe
Ferguson had said, I will start playing you there this season, and he didn't buy it. Or maybe there's just maybe he just wants more money. It's what they do.
I think he was offering an awful lot of money to go there. I like Stramacchioni. He seems decent, and I also like that he seems to be finally, after all the managers they've had post Mourinho, he seems to be the one to.
Well, he seems like a proper character.
Yeah,
I mean, he bit back at some of the stuff that one or two of the people upstairs at Juventus were saying towards him in the pre-match build-up. About his tactics, and he said, Juve keep talking about what happened on the pitch, on the pitch, on the pitch. Well, Inter beat them on the pitch.
Yeah, can't argue with that, can you?
So up there.
Repetition.
Up there. Good news for the other club in Milan. Milan beat Chievo 5-1, ladies and gentlemen. Emanuelson, Montolivo, Bojan, El Shaarawy, and Pazzini for Milan.
Some great goals in that match. The first three were all proper long ranges as well. I watched the highlights of this from AC Milan TV, where the commentator is predictably sort of crazy.
Yeah.
And Chievo actually equalised, didn't they, at one point?
They did.
They were a bit unlucky. That sounds mental, but they looked like they were a bit unlucky.
Yeah. But he'd gone mad for the first goal, and then when Chievo equalised, he went, goal.
Brilliant.
Check it out.
Super. Well, the Rossoneri are up to 7th on 14 points, 8 behind Napoli in 3rd. Who dropped
top three is what it's all about, sorry, aren't it?
Well,
days?
Absolutely. So maybe they've turned the screw, or turning that screw. Let's go to France, where they play in League
League.
I'm
very excited about Ligue 1 tonight.
That was from Alexander Perkis, so thank you for that.
Thanks.
Very entertaining.
Keep him coming.
In Ligue 1, Paris Saint-Germain lost at home to Saint-Étienne, and the big moment of that game was when Ibrahimovic was sent off for a fly kick on the keeper.
It's a bit much, wasn't it?
Gordon Bennett.
Left a stud imprint on his chest, on his solar plexus.
He had that classic, what?
Yeah. Did the keeper continue?
I'm not sure the keeper even survived.
Zlatan looked at the ref like, yeah, I know what you mean, he got right in my fucking way. what are you going to do about, what do you mean I'm going off?
He does sort of think he should be in charge of the game. I'll decide if I get set off or not.
Yeah. And he probably shouldn't have. It's like the W.G. Grace thing, cricket back in like 100 years ago, when apparently W.G. Grace, who was the superstar of cricket back in the day, was bowled out or whatever. And the umpire gave him out, and apparently he strode up to the umpire and said, these people around here, they've come to see me bat, not you officiate. Now play on.
But did he go off though?
I think he carried on.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. My goodness. Well, Zlatan's agent, Mino Raiola, agrees with all this, because he said recently about the upcoming Ballon d'Or.
Super agent Raiola.
Oh, he said
would become a super agent.
I don't know, but he's got Pogba and he's got Mario, Super Mario as well.
Oof. You got eight, like stable, some kind of enchanted rock, I think.
Yeah.
Well, he said about the Ballon d'Or and Zlatan, he said it would only be an important award if it was won by Ibrahimovic. It won't be because it is corrupt. Blatter is a demented dictator. Platini is incompetent, and they can't stop me saying so. No one has ever tried telling me I'm wrong. They all know I'm right.
I bet he looked around when he said that, though.
Yeah.
And
they can't
stop me from doing anything.
Yeah. Oh, God. When a man's that aggressive and he's in any way linked with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, is it worth even bothering to tell him he's wrong? Is it sort of, you let him get on with it.
Yeah, that's true. Also in France, Marseille joined top of the game in hand on PSG. Good away win for them. And Lyon are only 1 point off the top of the game in hand, too. So those points dropped by PSG.
The return of Gourcuff at Lyon, I think, as well, yeah. It's great to see.
Handsome Gourcuff.
Get him in there. Right, let's quickly go to South America, to Brazil, where Neymar scored a hat-trick away against Cruzeiro in the Brazilian Championship and was given a standing ovation by the home fans. Mm. And Neymar and Santos were away from
home.
Yeah,
can you remember Ronaldinho getting that from the Real Madrid
fans? Real Madrid fans, yeah. Absolutely. But the fans of Cruzeiro, being the home fans, of course, chanted his name and applauded him off the pitch, according to reports. And Neymar said he was quite overcome by the whole experience.
I think Pompey fans did that to Thierry Henry
as
well.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Well, chanted his name?
Yeah, I think Arsenal smashed us about five.
That's right, I think it was 5-1.
And he came, and Henry came back out and applauded the fans. Just 6-1. I'd have rather won the game, personally. But it was a nice consolation.
11th man.
Yeah.
Teddy got one at the end, I think it was.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But it's incredible, isn't it, Neymar? He will inevitably move to Europe, and we will be
five seasons.
Yeah, true. But we will be in for a treat, because he is magnificent.
Well, apparently the... We did a ramble paratologos on the website, which is through Joel Richards and Rupert Fry, who answer your questions about South American football. Not your questions, the listeners' questions.
Yes.
And they said the idea is that Neymar will stay in Brazil. Hopefully, they want him to stay till just after the World Cup in Brazil. Mm. But the fact of the matter is, because of all the outside investment in Brazilian football at the moment, apparently the club, Santos, are only paying 10% of his wages.
Yeah. Right.
90% has been picked up by sponsors.
And this is not just Neymar by any stretch, is it? This is becoming the norm. Yeah. Because Brazil's economy is really, really healthy now. This is a good chance for them to actually sort of, you know, make a play.
Players back as well, aren't
they? Yeah, exactly. I mean, Seedorf's gone out there, and you're hearing players linked, even players like Florian Malouda being linked with, you know, moves to Brazil, because it's becoming a sort of viable option.
Big Clarence.
We said,
Barcelona have apparently also, Guillaume Balague was saying that Barcelona have made a £10 million down payment on Neymar as well. Mm. But everyone's denying it. The payment's definitely happened, but everyone's denying what it's for.
And Messi?
Yeah.
Horrifying idea.
Right, we're going to do Pete's game after this.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
Stop.
No chance.
Pierluigi Casirano.
Naughty boy. You are a very dirty naughty boy.
That was amazing.
That was class.
Press silence, please. 4. Have I got FC Dunavarus for you? Right. From Bulgaria. Football club fans. My middle name is Maria. Jim, you're not allowed to answer the first question.
Stop. Hernan Crespo.
No. My first club was Volendam. Mm. Volendam. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I get the picture.
Ooh.
Yeah, alright.
Alright. My first name is Wilhelmus.
I thought that was going to be it. Fingers on the buzzers.
So did I, actually. Mm. Shouldn't really put it this early, but, you know, did it anyway.
Is it Wilhelmus Maria Cantona? Sorry, stop.
I scored in the same game as Nicholas Alexanderson, if you remember him, in a 3-1 win against Man United in 98-99.
Oh.
If you remember that game. Nobody does.
Stop. Is it Reggie Blinker?
No.
We already know two of his names, and that's what's throwing
no,
me.
No, but I thought that might have been a nickname. Like, if he had a few names.
Right.
If I had a few names. I went to Chef Wed for $2.5 million in 98.
Chef Wed, is this from Football Manager?
Stop. Benito Carbone.
No.
I couldn't think of a Chef Wednesday player. Yeah.
Stop.
Chris Wed.
Vim Yonk.
Oh!
Yes!
Oh,
get in there. Give me some of that.
A clause in my Sheffield Wednesday contract meant that I was entitled to $5,000 every time I was injured for a game. I was in the same PSV side that featured the best Ronaldo, and I'm currently a youth team coach at Ajax, I do believe. Vim Yonk, clearly.
You can imagine Redknapp putting that clause in and just kneecapping him every week.
Wilhelmus Maria Yonk.
Excellent stuff. Should we have an email?
Let's have an email. Go
on, before I move on to the emails, I should say thank you to everyone who entered the Savile Row scarf competition.
Bloody good scarves.
Yeah, John Carsno is the winner. So, John,
Johnny boy.
Well done, John.
We'll get in touch with you and send it over to you. He's an Aberdeen fan, apparently.
Yeah, and he's going to have one warm neck.
Yeah,
so he's enjoying
Craigie
Broom's work.
Apparently, he's not. Okay, we'll hence, he wins the scarf. shall I do an email?
Yeah, go on then.
Watch your fellas. Imagine my delight the day after I bought my 50-1 t shirt, available at footbrown.com, to discover that Eddie Howe's replacement at Burnley, Sean Dyche, has appointed Ian Warren as his assistant. Did my purchase inspire the decision? If so, I'm hoping that my other purchase, the What Would Zlatan Do t-shirt, may result in the arrival of Paris Kung Fu finest Turf Moor. Thanks, Dave Shorrock.
Love it.
Awesome. Is that all the emails? Because I've got one if you want to
do one.
I'll do one. This was sent to my personal account.
Ooh.
You'll see why in just a moment. this is from it's AGS, so Aga R.A. Khan. I do believe that's how you pronounce the first name. I'm very lonely and I've seen your YouTube clips and listened to your banterific shows. I desperately want a piece of your banterific pie. The chemistry between you and your ramble friends seem effortless. Can I be the missing ingredient that turns your scrambled egg and beans into scrambled egg, beans, toast and a fried tomato? I just want to be long. Is that too much to ask? Banter, Bantasaurus Rex, Bantagnificence, Bantor, Banterman, Bantappetite, Bantadonna. I am slightly medicated at present, but don't let that worry you. I'm sad, not mad, crazy. And who says happiness is the point of life anyway? Your listener, fan, friend, hype man, benchwarmer, RK.
You definitely pick him. I've never had an email like that.
The subject line did say, "Can I be your friend?" And thinking about it, it's probably the one of the better adjusted ones, to be quite frank. So yes.
I presume you're meeting him at some point.
If you any more emails like that, do direct them to Pete.
By the sounds of it, they are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The system works.
Yeah. Right, it's profile time, ladies and gentlemen. And we have an English legend, one of the great entertainers in British football history. It's Len Shackleton. Indeed.
The Clown Prince, Marcus.
The Clown Prince. He was born on the 3rd of May, 1922.
Oh, 45 years before the Summer of Love.
Damn summers.
People who keep asking me what the Summer of Love means on Twitter, if you don't know, you don't understand. You don't understand.
Give it a wee Google.
Mm. I love it when they say, what does it mean? You've got the internet.
Yeah.
Somebody recently emailed us to ask us what our connection to Jurassic Park is, just because we talk about it a lot.
How long have you got?
We just talk about it a lot.
I thought you were director of photography, Jim.
Yeah. And I was in the raptor suit.
Oh dear, and I was Jeff Goldblum.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Could be worse. So, Len Shackleton, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know anything about the man, I'll start off with a quote. I used to go out there to enjoy the game. This is what clowns do to provide the entertainment. I wasn't as good as a competitor as I might have been. Results weren't too important to me. I just used to go out there and enjoy it. That was what it was all about for me. Love that. Absolutely love that. Yeah. He was an inside forward. And he showed early on what a fantastic footballing talent he had. He was brought up in Bradford in Yorkshire. Excuse me. And his parents couldn't afford football boots, so he remembered, as we couldn't afford football boots, my Uncle John bought some studs and hammered them into an old pair of shoes.
Yeah, and apparently later on in his career, he used to prefer, he had like quite odd shaped feet. Yeah. And he used to prefer wearing rugby boots.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the old heeled ones, apparently, yeah.
Incredible.
Mm. Interesting story in terms of footwear.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
He was snapped up by Arsenal when he was just a teenager, which was quite a big move way back then from Yorkshire down to London. And he was also playing for England's schoolboys, but he wasn't at Arsenal very long. Clashed a few times with manager George Alisson because Shackleton was quite an outspoken guy and very much about himself, as I'm sure.
And also, if you guys, I'm not sure if you guys have noticed this, but back in the day, like around that sort of era, no matter how old people were, they always looked really old.
Yeah.
But Len Shackleton looked about 50 in every photo
yeah,
I've seen.
He was about 17, yeah.
Yeah.
He was told by Alisson that he was too slight in build and not good enough to become a professional footballer. And he was really
also
mean.
Also, your feet are bleeding because of the studs.
Are they nails in your feet?
Alisson was a bit nasty as well because before he went, as he said all this to him, he invited him into his office and it was, you know, in the 30s. And Alisson went, oi, see that? That's a TV over there. And he basically was showing off that he had a television. And Shackleton,
no, on there's only two channels.
Yeah. I still do that in Pompey.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But Shackleton was like, you know, he knew we didn't have TV up there and all this sort of stuff. And it was just like, really nasty.
That's cool, that's funny.
Yeah. So Shackleton got a job with London Paper Mills, but returned to Yorkshire soon after, where he would sign and play for Bradford Park Avenue in the wartime league during the 40s while working in the mines as a part of the war effort. He scored over 160 goals for Bradford Park Avenue and in 1946 earned the first of his few international caps against Scotland at Hampden Park.
Yeah, it's funny because I've read a book called The Footballer Who Could Fly by Duncan Hamilton, which is really good. And he talks about the sort of main fibre of the book is that it's all the players that the author's father introduced him to over the years, and one of them is Len Shackleton. And he quotes a great quote from a because back in those days, before I think Walter Winterbottom might have been the first England manager to actually pick the team.
Right, yeah.
Before that, it was a board of selectors.
Yeah.
And apparently, there was a newspaper guy who interviewed one of the selectors and said, "Why isn't Shackleton in the England team more often?" And apparently, the reply was, "Because we play at Wembley Stadium, not the London Palladium."
Yeah.
He never used to do what he was told.
He was a complete showman, was Shackleton. A teammate of his at Bradford PA was Ron Greenwood, who summed up old Shack by saying he was a showman, a crowd pleaser, a character who was larger than life. Some of the things he did had nothing to do with the winning or losing of a game, but the crowd loved him. Unbelievable skill he had, did Shackleton. Apparently he could put enough spin on some passes that the ball like, almost returned to him and stuff like that. The sort of spinning passes.
And those pitches were dreadful.
Imagine
the balls as well would have been rock hard.
Oh, yeah. Imagine his boots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He spent six seasons playing for Bradford PA and then Shackleton joined Newcastle United for £13,000, which was a lot of money back then. He had a fantastic debut against Newport County where he scored six goals in a 13-0 win, which might still be the biggest joint biggest league win in English history. During that game, he did one of his famous bounce the ball back off the corner flag tricks to outfox an opposing defender. Apparently, he did that a few times, like knocking the ball.
The ball was heavy, and the corner flags—they
were probably made of like jagged steel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is how good he was.
The scaffolding poles stuck in the ground.
The stories about some of the stuff he did at Newcastle were, from what I've read, were he would. Yeah. Wait, he'd sit on the ball and wait for the defender to come near.
Yeah.
He would also mime like looking at his watch all the time as well.
Yeah, that I think there was.
And pretend
was
to smoke like a pipe and smoke it. And
that's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there was a story. I'm not sure if this was for Newcastle or Sunderland because he moved thereafter, where he had a. I think it was for Sunderland. He had a penalty against Manchester City, and Frank Swift was in goal. He was a very good keeper. And Shackleton walked all the way back to near the halfway line and then ran at the ball like a flipping runaway freight train and swung at the ball. And Swift dived. But Shackleton hadn't touched the ball, turned and backheeled it into the net. Superb. And Frank Swift got up and ran over and hugged him. He said it was superb stuff.
Absolutely.
Shouting the C word into his ears.
That is gentlemanly.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to find like, video footage of him. I've seen one little like, sort of 15-second clip of him go around the keeper and scoring.
Yeah.
But this the trademark trick he used to do was apparently go right up by the touchline.
Yeah.
And he'd pretend to be like staggering forward and falling over. Wait for the defender to wait for him to fall over. to step off and just express pace it past him.
But he'd also, apparently he would do it to see if the linesman, like, to go to put the ball out of play and see if the linesman would start putting his flag up or not, like goading one of the officials. Superb.
It's like, you know, when you get really good at a computer game, a double computer game, and you get bored of winning, yeah. So you just start doing stupid stuff like that. It's like he did that in real life.
Yeah. And back then as well, you know, when the boots and the ball and the pitch and all the rest of it were...
The pitches were really bad, dreadfully bad, a bog from the video footage I've seen.
Well, he absolutely dazzled the crowds at Newcastle, but fell out with the board over a number of matters, and he handed in a transfer request. The board did fail to give him a £500 signing on fee, which they had agreed with him. Now, bearing in mind his wages before at Bradford Pier were £8 a week. It's a lot of money that wasn't...
He had his eyes on a clown car.
He did.
Where the doors fall off.
A little flower that spreads water.
Loads of other clowns to follow him out. Ooh, how are there so many of them in that small car?
He moved to Sunderland for just over £20,000. And while at Sunderland, he was there for about 10 years, scoring 101 goals in 348 games. Sunderland's post-war goal-scoring record.
There's a brilliant quote from him around this time when he's talking about Newcastle. He says, when it comes to Newcastle, I'm not biased. I don't mind who beats them.
In your face, Donaldson.
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah, take it.
Before you're even born.
He got the...
9-1!
In a 4-1 win against Arsenal at Roker Park, it was a goal-mouth scramble. And it ended with Shackleton with his foot on the ball on the goal line, looking at the Arsenal keeper, George Swindon, saying, "Come on, George, it's not in yet." The keeper's trying to get out.
Is that the one where he flicked up and jumped it all the way back to the centre circle?
Yeah, no, he didn't even put it in. The keeper jumped over to him. Apparently, he even rolls it to his teammate who taps it in.
What a twat.
Oh man.
Stop hitting yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Luke, he only had 5 caps for England.
I'm not surprised. Imagine doing that for England.
Walter Winterbottom said, "If only Len would come halfway to meet the needs of the team, there wouldn't be many to touch him."
He's like, "No, I'm not having that."
Yeah. He did have a great moment for England at Wembley when they beat the then world champions West Germany. Beaten 3-1, and he scored a lovely chip over the keeper, and the crowd at Wembley were absolutely loving it. Because it's funny, when Winterbottom talks about this, he's like, "Well, the trouble is, you know, he just didn't do this and he wouldn't do that and blah blah blah," but then goes, "Oh, but the crowd did love it."
It's like a precursor to Jimmy Bullard times a million.
But
it's like loads better.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Literally loads better.
He's retired, isn't he, Bullard? It's a shame we didn't mention it. God bless you, Jimmy.
In the 50s, while he was still playing, Shackleton published his autobiography entitled The Clown Prince of Soccer, which was unheard of back then. I mean, footballers with autobiographies, especially while they were still playing. And there's a famous chapter in the book called The Average Director's Knowledge of Football, and it consists of one blank page.
Bashment.
He retired from football in 1957, injured his ankle in the first game of that season, and never played again. And then went on to work as a football journalist for the Daily Express and The People. And in the year 2000, he finished his second autobiography, The Return of the Clown Prince.
What had he been doing in between the time to put in it?
True. Sadly, though, only after a few days after its publication, he died at the age of 78, suffering a heart attack. Mm. But I did like what it said in the Telegraph's obituary of the man when it stated, "He liked to point out that he was primarily an entertainer and an artist rather than anything so prosaic as a striker." And in comes Ben Shackleton. Ladies and gentlemen. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the football ramble this week. I think it's the end. I think we can hear an alarm outside, so we better go.
It's the banter alarm, Marcus.
It is. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, and we just announced details of the now traditional annual ramble Christmas drinks this year. Saturday the 15th of December at the King's Arms, usual place. Show@thefootballramble.com with your name if you want to come, or just click attending on the Facebook event. Facebook.com/footballramble.
There you go. Right.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
See you later.
And we'll see you next time, gang.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.